Good evening, cowboys and cowgirls. Welcome to the newest Cowboys Ride for Free podcast, Ingles Ian, with me, your host, Jacob Ingles, and my co-host, Ian Nickel. How are you doing today, man?
Oh, man. I'm glad it's almost the weekend. I'm so excited to start doing this podcast with you. Ready for a lot of fun, for sure.
Oh, yeah. So, like, you're still in Stillwater, right?
Yeah. Still a student. Sophomore right now. But, yeah, just living it up.
Those bars get hopping on the weekends, man.
Yeah, I don't go toward them. I'm not a big partier. I went a couple of times to like Coney when it was like an 18 plus bar because I'm only 20. So now they made it 21 plus because of some
people like you who are drinking too hard.
No. I don't drink. I actually don't drink. So it's other people.
So we were supposed to start this podcast on Monday, but I have been under the weather. So next time you hear me, I will hopefully sound better, but I have still been coughing a lot. But
hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thankfully, not the COVID. Got tested negative. So, but man, we got to talk about that Tulsa game. Oh, just so brutal.
I think we all thought that OSU would come out a lot better out the gate with Spencer Sanders coming back. I mean, the defense looked fine, but
defense looks amazing. I mean, they're putting up some numbers.
They are, but you look at the score, you're like, wow, that wasn't great at all.
Right. And that's a hard thing for me, you know. So I've been an Oklahoma State fan since I was about 16. That's when my family moved to Stillwater. My dad started teaching there. And, you know, once Gundy took over, if we don't score 35 or 40, something's wrong. In the last season and two games, we've been scoring like 27. And I'm like, what's going on? And like, even who Mike Yurcich, who drove me insane with his play calling, he still managed to average 40 plus with, you know, Corn Dog. No knock against Corn Dog, but he's not nearly as talented as Spencer Sanders was. They keep telling us the offensive line's better, and it's not. And I just don't know what's going on. I've never seen, like, Gundy's always said he aims for 5 yards a carry from his run game, and right now we're averaging 3. And I have just no idea what's going on.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting because the Spencer Sanders, you know, has 173 yards. That's what he threw against Tulsa, 15 to 26, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. And then you know, you're hoping the running game can kind of, you know, push the edge a little bit, you know, make up for Sanders' lack of throws. But then they get 43 attempts and 140 yards. That's insane. That's bad. That's really bad.
And like, part of me wonders, like, is Dunn the right guy? Did we finally miss on an OC? Is the offensive line not as good as we're used to? I don't know if I haven't had a chance to look. Like, did we lose an offensive line coach recently? And that's why it's been bad. I know there's some injuries we've lost, and we also lost, the left tackle to the NFL draft and everything else. But still, I mean, I just don't know what's going on. This does not look like the Oklahoma State I've been cheering for 20 years. This is outside of the realm of possibility in my mind that they can be this inept on offense.
I mean, straight up, they look like a Big Ten team. They look like a Wisconsin right now. They look like Penn State in week one. It's not a sight that
at least OSU, Wisconsin can run this football.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, point-wise.
Yeah.
Point-wise, they're putting up Big Ten numbers. And Wisconsin can't run the ball. And I think OSU is capable of running the ball too. But it's just like, dude, that something is up, and I don't know if it's done. I don't know if it's Gundy being a control freak, because I think that's a theory that's been floating around there. But whatever's happening, the offense isn't working. And then you have to consider, is Spencer Sanders just an average quarterback? Like, is he going to hit that ceiling that we think he can? I'm kind of leaning toward no. I think around here is a ceiling.
I don't think that is true. He's had too many good games to where I don't think that like 173 for yards is like his max. Like, he's throwing up some big numbers. you know, done a lot with his legs, you know, and that's something that Oklahoma State quarterbacks really haven't done a lot. I mean, Walsh did it some, but not like Sanders can. I mean, he's a great athlete, but he's still making bad decisions. And that's, I think that's going to be one of the killers. Like he made, you know, last year against Texas, he made some terrible decisions. And I was hoping that, yeah, it's a new offensive coordinator, COVID year, full off season with Dunn. You know, hopefully that all works out, but it just doesn't seem to be working out. And like, I got nothing against Illingsworth, but like, he's no better. I think he's in talent wise, he's definitely not as good as Sanders.
Yeah, and I think when the crowd, I went to the game, when the crowd chanted, "We want Shane," I thought that was the stupidest thing ever. Yeah. I just think that, like, A, you're not providing any confidence to Sanders. B, Sanders knows he plays bad. And then three, did you see what Illingsworth did against Missouri State? Not much better.
It's Missouri State. It's an FCS team. Granted, it's a weird FCS team where like all their starters are like former FBS, but still. And I think it's going to be one of the weird things, harsh segue, but one of those weird things we're going to see going forward is we're used to seeing programs build up into good, like being good, but with like transfer portal and stuff, like there's no reason a Boise State can't go from like 500 in the Mountain West to top 10 team if they get the right transfer. Like same with Oklahoma State, same with like some of these, we've seen a lot of FCS teams win. You know what, Jacksonville State beat Florida State last weekend. There's been a lot more than normal winning in the first 2 weeks. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think just in general because of A, those transfers and then the super seniors that have come back for several teams, it's made college football a little more competitive, especially when it comes to those five teams and, you know, the FCS team. I think those are helping a lot.
Especially with the super seniors, you know, yeah, a Jacksonville State isn't going to have as nice of a weight room as like Oklahoma State will, but it's going to be nice enough. And, you know, sport nutrition being what it is, there's a really big gap between a 23, 24 year old and a 20 year old just in physical conditioning and how big you can. And I think that's what you're seeing a lot is you're starting to see some dudes who should have been out of school 2 years ago who aren't because of COVID and are just beast compared to a lot of their FBS opponent.
I agree with that 100%. And you brought up Boise State, and that's A, I think it's one of the top 10 games of the weekend. And then B, this is a do or die game for Oklahoma State. I think this determines a lot of the season. If they don't turn around, this season's going to look like a wash.
Right. I agree with that. You know, it's a really interesting matchup. You know, Boise State and Oklahoma State have been sort of kind of seen as like sister programs in a lot of ways. They sort of came up at the same time, high flying offenses when we had one. You know, lots of really, I mean, Boise State's, they've turned out some really big coaches. They've gone other places. Gundy State, that's one, you know, some of the best uniforms in college football. I love that ice white Boise State helmet with that chrome horse on the side. That is one of the sexiest helmets in all of college football. I will fight you. That is just, it is gorgeous.
That's a very nice helmet.
Yeah. That is. Yeah, you know, they got the Smurf turf and all that craziness.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very unique program. And you look at where Chris Peterson took them, you know, from, you know, an FCS school to an eventual Fiesta Bowl champion. I think they won it 3 times. So
yeah, but the best one will always be when they beat Oklahoma.
Oh, man. I was like six when that game happened. So all I saw was like highlights. I didn't watch that. I'm sorry.
That was 2007. So that was Christmas break senior year of college for me. And like I was home from school for break and me and my dad flipping through games, like, we'll just watch the end of it. It's like Boise was down by like 20 in the fourth quarter. And next thing you know, they start rattling off things. And all of a sudden it's the hook and ladder and the Statue of Liberty. And like, it was just like, we were like losing our minds. It was like, I don't know. I might enjoy watching Oklahoma lose more than I like watching Oklahoma State win. Like it's close for me.
Yeah, I mean, OU losses are pretty rare nowadays. So whenever they can lose, it's rare, always nice
for the most part. But it's
pretty rare.
It's exceptional. Like 2014 Bedlam, that was great.
Yes, it definitely was. And hopefully they can get a. Who am I kidding? They probably won't. So let's talk about Boise State for a little bit. They played UCF in a nice Thursday night thriller to open this in, lost 36-31, but they had a 100-yard interception return on Dylan Gabriel. So they can force turnovers, and against UTEP, they forced six against UTEP in a 54-13 just beat down.
Wow. And I didn't catch those numbers. It feels like we're going to have like a 12-13 game because they're not doing anything on the ground either. I think they're averaging worse per rush. They're averaging like 2.2 yards per attempt on the ground right now.
Per game, it is 70.5 yards rushing per game. But in total passing yards, it's 301.5. Yeah. Compared to Oklahoma State, it's 244 yards per game passing, 97 rushing.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. But they haven't come up like – our secondary is elite. I mean, they're probably the best secondary, at least top 10 in the country, right? And then also, yeah. Boise State is terrible on third down. They only convert like 1 in 3, like 33% on the year, which is really bad. So like, it feels like rock meat hard place for both offenses right now. It's like, is Sander going to throw three picks? Are they going to throw three picks? I don't know. It's all over the place.
You brought up their fourth down efficiency, 4-14 against UCF, and then 5-13 against UTEP. So their third down percentage is not that great.
Yeah.
And then you also take a look at their penalties. They had 7 against UTEP and then 6 against UCF. So, and they also have a hard time with the possession battle. They didn't win the possession battle, the time of possession battle against UCF. And then they squeaked by by 13 seconds against UTEP. So Boise State is a really good team, but they also have their vulnerabilities.
Yeah. I mean, they're a score fast kind of team. You know, that's how Oklahoma State used to be. They used to lose the time of possession 2-1 and still put up 50 plus points just because they were just super hyper tempo. I mean, it feels weird watching these, like the team the last 2 years is, you know, even through Rudolph and Corndog, like they were snapping it as fast as anybody in the country. Now it feels like they've like slowed down a lot. And I don't understand. I don't know if that's play calling, if that's a new direction in coaching. I don't know. But I mean, it's obvious that Boise State is a, you know, tempo team, that they're just trying to throw the ball over the yard, you know, get mismatches, find people in space. You know, basically what Oklahoma State is known for doing, they're going to try and do to us.
I'll tell you this. I mean, their defense doesn't look too sharp. I mentioned the turnover battle, but when you look at yards allowed, it's 454.5. Oklahoma State gives up about 113 yards less, but they also have scored more compared to Oklahoma State. 42.5 points per game in the two games that they played. OSU 25.5.
Yeah.
And then you look at it, it worries me a little bit because if it goes to a shootout, I don't know if Oklahoma State could keep up based off what I've seen. But it's also up to the defense to prevent that from happening. But I think the defense can only do so much. That worries me about this Oklahoma State team. Like if they can't score, obviously the game's over because you need the most points wins.
Yeah, that's generally how football works. I mean, but the thing is, like, even with last year, they, you know, the defense kept them in a lot of games, and it's obvious they can put up point. And the O-line theoretically is better than last year. Granted, we don't have Chuba, and we're missing weapons on the outside. So maybe some of that's a gel thing. So I really would have liked to have seen Sanders on his second game last week, you know, trying to get an idea, because he is learning a lot of new people. You know, he's had safety blankets all over the place, you know, at wide receiver and running back. And, you know, now it's his time to lead, where he hasn't had to be the leader yet. And so I kind of wonder, and this is something I've been thinking about a lot, is one, Sanders from what I can tell, tends to play good on the road. Something about that hostile environment gets him going. And it's going to be really interesting to see how the team responds to their first road trip. A lot of young receivers. Are they going to be able to get the communication down? You know, BYU probably feel BYU, Boise, BSU, probably feel snubbed. They didn't get an invite to the Big 12. So, you know, those fans are going to be rocking, you know, Saturday night, they're going to be liquored up. It's going to be nuts there on the Smurf turf. And I don't know. I think it's going to be, like you said, it's going to be a telling game. Like, I mean, do they have a chance for the college football playoff, even if they run the table from here on out? Probably not, just with how everything goes. But if they show up and win, especially when, I think there's a good chance that they take that rolling forward going into the Big 12 play. You know, Sanders is feeling good. He's feeling comfortable. And, you know, that first road game of the season is always a big deal.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is either like makes or kills momentum. And it's that simple. If you win big, that carries a lot of weight going into Kansas State, who they also take on a Mountain West team in Nevada. That game's interesting to me. But do you have any players to watch for Boise State? Because I'm looking at the quarterback.
Yeah, the quarterback is always a big deal. I'm really interested to see the defense. You know, I don't know their offensive weapons, but like you said, they're putting up a lot of turnovers, and I'm wondering if that is just a lucky streak, or if that's, so it's going to be really interesting to see how the secondary plays our wide receivers, to see if they're scheming those picks or if it's more of just a, they just really opportunity.
Well, they had a guy, Tyrik LaBeouf, who had a, I hope I said that right, but he had two interceptions in the UCF game. One was for the touch for a pick six, 100-yard pick six. And then they had no interceptions, or did they? No, they had three interceptions against UTEP. So their corners are going to be very hungry. You look at Tyreek Jones and you look at Sei Oladipo. I believe he's a safety, freshman safety. So they got playmakers in the secondary that I think Sanders should be weary of, especially since he gave up that pick six to Justin Wright against Tulsa.
Well, I mean, yes, and that was a terrible decision. Like, I don't know who he was throwing to there, but – but the thing with Sanders, he's got the arm to beat. And if corners are jumping and he's on and not overthrowing, because we saw two bad over against Tulsa, which he did early last season and reined in. You know, I think part of it was just first game jitters for him. I mean, you think about it, he basically went an entire season without playing in front of fans. Like, I do wonder how that COVID season will be affecting players. And I don't know if it's just me, but watching games this year, I feel like I've seen a lot of like people having to call timeouts because they can't get to play it, or offsides, or offensive linemen jump in. Like, I can tell people aren't used to the noise that, you know, a place like especially Boone Pickens brings. And I haven't had a chance to look at the numbers if, like, you know, those kind of penalties are up, but it feels like they're.
I agree. I think that it's benefiting the defenses. I feel like we've seen a lot more defensive battles and a lot of lower scoring games because of it. So that is something to keep an eye on. I have this game. I don't know if we're going to get into our predictions, but I got this game pretty low scoring.
I do too. I mean, I'm more than happy to give mine. I think Oklahoma State's going to turn it around. Gundy's had 2 weeks to like chew these guys out for not playing well. I think the offensive line, even as depleted as they were last year, they got it figured out. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to get it figured out to an extent. I don't think they're going to, but I don't think we're going to have one of those, you know, 200-yard rushing games like we've had the last couple of seasons, but I think I'm leaning 28-24 Oklahoma State on this one.
I've been going pretty back and forth on it. And also, one thing to note, on second and long, I think you saw this from our buddy Philip, aka OKTXAR Poke, Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas Poke, fellow Cowboys Ride for Free contributor. These were on second down and long. Second and 12, run 2 yards. Second and 12, quarterback run 5 yards. Second and 10, run 3 yards. Second and 10, run 2 yards. Second and 15, run 2 yards. Second and 11, interception. Second and 10, run, no gain. Second and 10, run 3 yards. Second and 10, run 0 yards. Second and 10, pass 21 yards. Second and 10, run 9 yards, penalty. Second and 10, run 2 yards. Second and 9, run 1 yard. Second and 8, run 1 yard. Second and 11, run 11 yards. So if they can just not do that, they could be a little more less predictable with the play calling, then they should be fine.
I've seen Gundy do this before, and it's bitten him in the past. Central Michigan comes to mind, where he's like, I'm going to make sure they know what they're doing, and he'll just overdo something. And then he expects him to break through and doesn't. I don't expect the play calling to be like that this game, because, I mean, Boise is a real team. I mean, no offense to Tulsa, but y'all did lose to an FCS school. Granted, we almost did too, but still. Tulsa, it's, you know, Missouri State. Those aren't real teams. This is a real team. I mean, their only two losses last year were to number 11 and number 24. When they played them, number 11 BYU and number 24 San Jose. I mean, they are a real team, and I think Gundy's always played close to the chest, especially out of conference, because he wants to keep the playbook tight. And I kind of see that with a new-ish offensive coordinator, but I expect the full playbook to be on. They're hitting. I think they'll put up points, and if they're not, they won't.
I think it has to be, and I'll go ahead and get in my prediction. I've been having a back and forth kind of in my head. If OSU plays like they did the past 2 weeks, Boise State wins easily. However, if they play to their potential, Oklahoma State will win. I have a feeling that they will play a lot better and they'll play up to their potential, but I think it's still going to be very, very close. I think Oklahoma State will win 24-20. I think it's going to come down to the defense once again. I think it might come down to a two-point conversion at the very last second.
You got any other Big 12 games on your schedule to watch weekend?
Oh, probably Nevada and Kansas State. I think Nevada is going to win that one. I think Nevada is probably a top five group of five right now. And I think with Skylar Thompson out, I think Nevada should have a pretty decent time. And I think they're going to win that game. What about you?
The one I'm looking that I will try to watch if I can is West Virginia, Virginia.
Ooh.
You know, sort of a backyard brawl. And the spread is super tight. It's I think West Virginia is favored, plus 2.5. And with Virginia Tech, who's ranked, coming off that big win against North Carolina start season, I'm shocked West Virginia is even that close. I thought it would be a 7-point Virginia Tech lead there on spread. But, I mean, the people in Vegas know what they're doing. So if they're thinking it's that close, I'm really interested, because I haven't heard a lot about West Virginia. I've heard some of that chirping about, oh, they're the dark horse to win and da-da-da-da. But, West Virginia hasn't been good for a while. So I'm like, maybe. And so it's going to be really interesting to see what happens.
I like Neil Brown out of West Virginia. I think Virginia Tech's going to win, though. I think the reason why that spread is so close as it is because West Virginia's hosting and that crowd's going to be very hostile. I think the last two games, Virginia Tech's been at home with the crowd, Enter Sandman, all of that. But now they got to go into West Virginia where it's country roads and screw your Enter Sandman, you know?
Yeah, I mean, so that's the Big 12 game I'm looking forward to. I'm trying to think. I'm curious to see if Florida can hang with Bama in the rest of it. I don't think they can, but
I don't think they can either.
You know, they're doing okay.
I think it'd be interesting to see what Iowa State does against UNLV. I think they got to come back.
That was a bad.
Let's see how they bounce back.
They looked bad against Iowa, and talk about looking bad. The beat down Arkansas put on Texas. I hate rooting for the SEC, but I will root over them over Texas every damn day.
Oh man. That made me laugh. That put a little chuckle, made me happy, made me smile. All sorts of stuff, man. I thought that was hilarious.
I hadn't really been paying attention because Saturday I was at my nephew's first birthday party down in Houston, and I finally got back to my hotel. I'm hanging out. I'm I'll just go. There's a sports bar nearby. I walked in and Arkansas's up by 15. I'm oh, wow. All right. And there's obviously be down in Houston. There's all these Texas fans. I'm go Arkansas. I'm you like Arkansas? I'm no, I just hate Texas.
Man, oh man. It's going to be funny when they go to the SEC, and it's going to take a little bit. It's going to take a little bit, and it's going to be funny watching them go 5-7 probably out of the year. And we're just hey. Also, can I fire off a Big 12 take real quick with expansion? Do you mind if I do that real quick?
Yeah.
So I think with the Big 12 I don't like that the Big 12 is still around. I think it was Oklahoma State's best interest to leave and join a Power 5 conference if they could. With Cincinnati, UCF, Houston, and BYU joining, it looks like, you know, the American Athletic Conference. It really is. The Big 12 is the island of misfit toys. And Houston, UCF, BYU, and Cincinnati, they're Rudolph, UConn, Cornelius, and the elf that's wants to be a dentist, right? It's just that they're holding all of their hopes on them. And friggin' UConn Cornelius almost died. So I don't like the look. I think it devalues the Big 12 significantly.
Yeah, I actually kind of wanted them to go to the Big 8 and just have major schedules against the other conferences for their non-conference. Like, let's play four games against the SEC, then we'll play four games against the Pac-12. I think that would have been a better brand. But I mean, if Bowlesby is to be believed from what he's heard, like what I've heard him say on ESPNU on Sirius, they're not done. They're going to 16. I can almost guarantee it.
The Big 12 is going to 16.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they have to in order to just keep it going.
I will say that the Pac-12 would make a lot of sense because Oklahoma State would be easily the second best team in there. But after a while, there you do have to consider that these are still student athlete kids. And flying, like, that time change is hard. I've had to go Central Time Zone, West Coast for work multiple times. That's tough. I've done East Coast, West Coast. I mean, it destroys your body. And then they got to come back and still try to be students. And I think at least for the most part, this is the best thing for the student.
Probably. I think the Big 12, Big 10, the Big 10 could have worked. Just in terms of wrestling,
they're super elite about like only AAU schools or whatever it is.
Yeah, that was the tough part.
So the only reason Oklahoma State doesn't qualify for that is because American Academic Universities or whatever that stands for, they don't count ag dollars as research dollars. That's the only reason Oklahoma State doesn't qualify.
Man, they got Iowa and Nebraska. Like, those are
they corn. Got the medical schools too. That's so oh. All that medical research money is, but if Oklahoma State's ag dollars counted, they would qualify, but they don't.
That'd be nice if ag dollars could qualify. That makes sense if ag dollars qualify. Oh, well.
All right. Well, let's hit up some of the other things going on in the Oklahoma State universe. Miranda Ellish, senior transfer from Texas, joins the Cowgirl softball team, who has been on the rise the last three or four years. And she is an absolute monster from both sides. I think she had like 18 shutouts last season, hit like 400. Like, she is an absolute beast, and that could be like the thing that they need to get over the hump against him. And not getting that screwed over last year in the Women's College World Series and to play at like 1 a.m. or whatever it was, and then that was so terrible. Like,
well, good news with that. Well, I had to cover that game as a fill-in at my previous workplace, but they added 2 extra days to the schedule for next year. So good indeed. And then B, it adds just having another pitcher along with Maxwell and along with Morgan Day from Illinois State. That helps a lot because now that's a rotation of 3 people that you could use every series. You can go Maxwell, Day, Ellish.
Right. And that's the crazy thing
Friday through Sunday, and it works.
That's the crazy thing about softballs. Mm-hmm. They can pitch both ends of a double hit. Double header if they have to. I mean, that was weird to me coming from like the baseball world. Cause like I've known about softball and I've watched it some, but now that Oklahoma State's been getting good the last 3 or 4 years, I've been watching a lot more of it. And I was like, oh wow, that is insane what they can do.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal. And the crowds there are great. I mean, the stadium holds like 750 people, but it feels like 1,000. The left field deck down there is awesome. I'm excited for this upcoming softball season because the Cowgirls are going to continue.
Yeah, I'm going to make a weekend trip to Stillwater in like 4 days, like when baseball, softball, and football's going, like hit all three. Maybe basketball if I can sneak it in.
They got a couple of fall games, I think. I think LSU travels down or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, normally baseball and softball have some form of fall schedule.
Mm-hmm. Well, they believe they do. I'll go look up that OSU softball fall schedule real quick. But I don't know the baseball's fall schedule just yet. But, okay, it looks like LSU is at LSU. But there's several games. One September 23rd against I'm not sure who. I think it's like a D2 school. Same thing with September 26th. And then October 3rd is against West Texas. October 9th is against Oklahoma Christian. October 13th is against North Texas. And October 20th is against Wichita State. They have a road game at Tulsa as well, October 6th. But that's the softball fall schedule.
Not bad. And the Cowgirl golf team stomped all over to win the Sam Golden Invitational 13 strokes.
Massive.
That is even that kind of domination is rare. And especially coming off that runner-up last year to...
Was it Duke? No, they beat Duke, didn't they?
Pepperdine?
No, that was men's.
I thought it was.
Oh, wait, Stanford. No. It was Ole Miss.
Oh,
it was Ole Miss.
Yeah, I believe. But yeah, I mean, so that is really that's a really good showing to like. That, I mean, that's walking away territory, and you don't generally do that in golf. 4 or 5 strokes, sure. 13 against real schools. I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, it was absolutely phenomenal. Obviously, excuse me. Obviously, Oklahoma State golf is a mainstay here. I mean, right. They're practically golf university. So I think that it's going to be a fun season in golf.
We'll definitely both sides. Be bringing the updates. Like, and the men played at Pebble and did pretty well. Mm-hmm. Like, I couldn't imagine playing at Pebble Beach. That is like one of those, as a longtime golfer, that is one of the places, like if I could ever play, I would probably cry. No lie, probably cry on the first tee.
It's that like Pebble Beach is probably the second most famous golf course behind Augusta
in the U.S. Yeah,
in the U.S. Yeah,
because like
I feel like all those British Open courses are the same. Like there's St. Andrews, and then there's like everything else.
Yeah, but I mean, but you got St. Andrews, which is you mean that and Augusta are like the two, right? Like sort of the two meccas of golf. I mean, there's some other amazing golf courses in the U.S., but like Pebble and Augusta are like the two. And I live really close to Augusta now, so I'm like, man, how do I get tickets? I gotta go at least once.
You gotta if you're down there. That's just a heck of a time.
Yeah, like I live like 3 hours from there. It's like so it'd be an easy drive.
Nice, awesome.
So before we get to, which will be a continuous thing on our Thursday podcast, before we get to our tracks that slap, we got to say goodbye to one of the funniest men I've ever heard, Mr. Norm MacDonald. R.I.P., my friend.
Man, I know Norm is before my time. I still know what's up with Norm, man. Like probably one of the most witty comics ever. Just the way he would like throw comebacks at like talk show host and then just kind of some of the stuff he came out of like midair. I watched the his roast on Bob Saget where it was him reading like a 1950s like joke book or something for like 1950s roast and it killed. Just the little stuff that he did like that where you just don't expect it and it somehow still works that's what made him great. He's definitely
so one of the things where oddly enough that I know him from is from High Stakes Poker because he was one of the hosts on that show for a long time, which I love because I used to play a lot of poker. But what I loved about him is you never knew if he was just talking to you or telling a joke because he just had the same timbre with his voice and it was hilarious all the time. Like you never heard him laugh. Like it was just amazing. He was one of the good ones.
Mm-hmm.
100. All right, Ian. What you got? Your track that slaps to get people going into the weekend.
Oh man, do we have to do one or can I go with two? I got two that I'm kind of splitting it between.
Go for it.
Two. So the first one is Hurricane by Kanye West from the Donda album. I don't know why that song. That song just hits different. And I think it's has something to do with, you know, the way it's produced. You know, he has The Weeknd on it, and that's just, I don't know. It's just a really good song. And then my last one is Route 66 by Jack Harlow. That one is just like a good like headbanger, just kind of jam out to it. That one's always fun. So I listen to the clean version. So I just gotta clarify that. Listen to the clean version.
So for me, the my first one is going to be Dark All Day by Gunship. This dark synth wave, amazing epic that if you like saxophone, man, it's got this saxophone track that'll just melt your face off. Fantastic. And also 100% recommend the video. It's so good. So yeah, if you want to get some like techno EDM going in your earphones, put that on.
I dig it. Okay. Might have to send me the link to that later.
All right, well, cowboys and cowgirls, thank you for coming out. Ian, as always, a good time. And we will see y'all on Monday, assuming that I can talk.
Please be able to talk.
Bye, everybody.